The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad city, broken day, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad editors, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pharrell Palatia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny is upstairs right now, getting ready to go to bed. She's got her PJs on, but before she did, she took a toke of that hybrid Mokey in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People trust the plastic bags, the ready drivers, I got a fashion, shake it up, to do it. I'm a friend of the camera, plus the floods of body of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, that the sounds of tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be, shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell with Carver High this evening. And I got to tell you, Carver High, I couldn't believe a couple things. One, I'm sitting there watching Nashville, they're up 1-0 early in the game. They score early, you know. I mean, what are you going to do? You're styling. You're on your home ice. A minute 45 into the game, Cousins scores. It's one zip. Then you get a power play 4 minutes into the game. You know, 3 minutes later, you get a power play. Fans are going nuts. And then you give up a shorty. McGinn ties it for the Canes, and they're in Smashville at the Bridgestone, and it's 1-1. 10 minutes left in the first period. So this game's got the whole shebang left. But it is already good. It's 1-1. And then earlier, it just finished. Montreal beat Toronto 4-3 in overtime. Suzuki, the winner. Are you kidding me? Did you see that goal? A 2-on-0 break. And Suzuki and Caulfield from their own end at the blue line, they stole the puck and the two of them shot out through middle in the neutral zone and all the way into the Toronto end. And they came at Campbell and they went back and forth, and then boom, Suzuki inside the left post. And Campbell wasn't fast enough. He had no help, no defense, a 2-on-0 Carver High. And you knew he was in big trouble. You can't blame the goalie when there's nobody there to help him.
Yeah, it's never the goalie's fault if he's got to take a 2-on-0, and especially in overtime. I mean, what a pike job by the Leafs tonight to come all the way back from being down 3-0 early in that game to tie it in the third period, and then just to give up a 2-on-0 in the opening minutes of overtime, and you get whacked. And now you got to get on a plane, go back to Montreal, go play a game 6 on Saturday. What a shame. What a shame.
Well, I have to tell you, they scored a minute into overtime. So yeah, it was 1 minute. So here's the deal. You're down 3-0. You come all the way back. You tie it. Muzin had two goals in the third. He's never had two goals in his life. But he tied it. And then you lose it that way in overtime. I mean, what does that do to them after they've blown it again? And now it's game 6 in the Bell Center. There's no way they're losing this series up 3-1. There's no way. I can't believe they lost tonight. I couldn't believe they were down 3-0. I couldn't believe they tied it. I couldn't believe Musin had 2 goals. And then I couldn't believe I just saw that 2-on-0 break and it was over. I can't even believe what I saw tonight. Just so you know, I'm ripping up tickets. I lost money on the Leafs tonight. I thought they'd win that game easy. We welcome our radio affiliates in, Sirius XM channel 204, our satellite partners, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell and a Bench with Carver High. The number's toll free, 844-843-6879. So Carver High told me a tip once. He said, tell him to call in the break. Don't call during the show. That's just a tip. Right, Carver High, that's like an inside tip.
That is 100% true. Things will go much better if you do it that way.
If you just call when we go to break, then you'll get on the air. Simple as that. You call when we're on the air. Good luck. Good luck to you. Anyway, so I've seen it all. Like everything, like every hockey game I go near, it's craziness. I can't even tell you. But then again, last night I was hitting everything. I hit the Islanders. I bet on the Islanders. And who else? The Lightning I hit last night. I couldn't believe. What was the third game? There was a third game that was crazy.
Vegas.
Oh, yeah, Vegas. I lost that bet. And so I lose this Leaf game tonight. I thought for sure they'd finish it off. What do you think of them losing game 5 in their own building? Although we've talked about this, there is no home ice advantage in the North Division playoffs because there's no fans in Canada at the game. It's just empty buildings and piped in sound and music and the guy calling out the goals, you know, the PA announcer is embarrassing. There's nobody there.
It is ridiculous. In fact, it's so dumb. Like, why even fly back and forth to Toronto and Montreal? Like, it's not a difference. Now, I had heard a rumor that they were going to try to get people into Montreal for Game 6.
They are. Pat Hickey told me last night
they're going to allow say that. 20, they're going to get Hickey in. There you go.
2,500 tomorrow night. Or 2,500 on Saturday night. We got a great show tonight. Plus, Richard Schaefer from Ringstar Sports. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. We're going to talk, is that momentarily in a few minutes, to Richard Schaefer, allegedly, Carver High? All right. So, oh, Jesus, I hope that happens because, you know, they are, the boxing guys get busy or something happens. He could be at dinner, forget. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities. Yeah, there's all kinds of opportunities to not come through with, but I go way back with him. So, I mean, honestly, like I've known this guy forever and he's been very good to me. And I've been, I hold up my end of the bargain for him too, promoting his, fighters and stuff and his big events. So he's always been great to me. There's no one better than Richard and Richard, Schaefer and Bruce Pinkow, the two greatest guys I know in boxing, in the fight game. Absolutely no one better than those two. I mean it, too. Like, I'm not even kidding. So, you're telling me that Chris Paul is playing tonight with that shoulder problem of his?
Yes, I just saw him come out onto the court. Looks like they're getting going, and he was there. He looks like he's part of it, so he's playing.
I just don't believe that he can be effective. I mean, the other night he was crippled. And, but I don't even care, but let me ask you, I want to go back to I don't care if he plays with his broken arm. Let me honestly, like, I just hope it's a good game and I'm ready for a good game. I got to tell you why I need a good game because the first game sucked so bad.
Oh my goodness.
That was the worst basketball game I think I've ever seen in my life.
And the second worst was game 2.
Yeah. Like that, you know what? Barkley's right. You're right. Everyone's right. It's sweep. They're done. You know why? Because they suck. And what's amazing to me is they were never all year. I'll give you that. All year long, they were never the team that was in the bubble last year. They were never that team. They were a They were a five that looked more like an eight. And I'll tell you what, tonight, that was the worst shooting performance I've ever seen by a basketball team, pro, college, high school, or AAU in my life. I'm not even joking. Have you ever seen a team shoot worse than them tonight? I mean, honest to God.
It was embarrassing. I actually watched the whole second half because I've been here in the office, and I had the hockey on the big TV and I had the basketball on the little TV because I may or may not have a couple of bucks on the Lakers Sun game tonight. So I was getting ready and I'm looking at this game going, you got to be joking me. Another blowout? Like, this is embarrassing. They're up 30 points in the third quarter. Like, what are we doing here?
30 points. They now, beat them by 29.
And now forget, you got the one competitive game in that series. When they beat them in overtime in game one, it's like that was it. It was like the Heat shut it down after that. Forget it. We're done. I mean, game four, they're getting swept. They're finished. They don't win the game in the series.
So they shot 37%, the Heat, and they were 32 of 85, and they shot 28%, 9 of 32 from downtown. So just so we're clear, the Bucks shot 48% in the game and 36% from downtown. So better in all facets of the game shooting. And then as far as productivity, Middleton led them with 22, but they had everybody in on it. Greek Freak, 17 and 17. He had 17 rebounds to go with his 17 points. And then Holiday had 19 and 12 dimes, the double-double for him as well. And Portis had 11 and 9 boards. You know, Lopez, I thought, had a good game, 13 and 5 boards. I mean, everybody. Forbes had 11. I told you today on the show they can't let Forbes go off. He did it again. He had three threes. Connaughton had three threes. Middleton had three threes. Holiday had two threes. I mean, who didn't produce? I mean, the Heat are done. They're done. So put a fork in them. Forget about it. All right, let me go back to this hockey game for a second. Can you believe that they couldn't get it done in Toronto? Like, let's just forget for a second. Let's pretend like that the crowd thing isn't happening. Let's just pretend for a second that they were in their building. You know, it's so strange because in America, they're playing these games in front of packed houses. And so when you're watching the Barn or the Penguins, PPG, or anywhere else, this game tonight at Smashville, packed house. And then you turn on these Canadian games and there's tarps over the seats with advertisers. And it's the most embarrassing thing ever. And it's just so awful. It's not even funny. So let's just forget that for a second. Can you believe that this team that can never win a series, they've lost four in a row too. They've lost four playoff series in a row too. They're awful. And I'm talking first round. And then they can't win in the first round, let alone win a series. So here they go again. You're up 3-1 in the series, and you go home to finish them off, and you're down 3-0. I mean, what the hell is wrong with this team? It's amazing to me. Like, that, it's night and day from the Canadiens. The roster of Toronto is loaded with all-stars, and Montreal has nothing. They have Carey Price. That's it. They literally have no talent. In my opinion, they have nothing. I mean, all those people, they're all hacks. Well,
the one really talented kid they have, they didn't play him till tonight. And that's Caulfield. Like, some reason, they didn't play him the first few games. And he gets in there tonight, and he's part of the big game-winning goal.
Because they think they're better than everybody at everything. They think they run things better. They think they know hockey more than everyone else. They think they're the Yankees with their 24 cups, right? That they all came in the 40s and 50s. And 60s. You know what I mean? Like, thank God they won one in 94. That's the last time they sniffed one, because before that, it was before everything they won was before Christ, right? It was in BC. But you can't deny they suck, and in my opinion. And then they go out and they're up 3-0 on the Leafs. What is wrong? You explain it to me. What is wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs organization?
Man, where do you start?
I mean, honestly,
look, here's what their problem has been the last couple of years. And I don't think that they've completely cleaned it up. They are a team that is built on four or five guys who are offensive players that take up, you know, 65% of their cap, and they have a very patchwork defense, which is not very good, and they have they still have a goaltending problem. Now, this guy Campbell's played okay for them. They obviously, Frederick Anderson has been bad the past couple of years in the playoffs. They're not money goaltenders, and they don't have defense, and that's been their problem year after year. And it ain't going to change here. I mean, they're playing Montreal and they're struggling. Just wait. They're going to play teams that are better than Montreal. Like, even in the next round, Winnipeg, say what you want about them. They swept Edmonton. They have guys that can score, and they have the best goalie in that north, because Hellebuck's the best goalie, and he can shut them down. So, I mean, listen, I've said it all year. You know that. The Leafs aren't going anywhere. They're going nowhere.
So let me get this straight. If they win, they play Varlamov. If
yes,
the Lightning already won, they play the winner of this series.
Yes.
The Lightning Predators play the winner. And Kings.
Yes. Correct.
And then the other one is the Islanders and Bruins.
Correct.
And then that's it, right?
And then Colorado, Vegas,
if Vegas wins it.
Yeah. That's it. So you have a chance for four really interesting second round matchups if you get them. Now we'll see if Vegas can finish the job, and we'll see if Carolina can finish the job. If they can, I think you're going to have four pretty entertaining second round matchups.
Wow. So you still think like the Leafs are going to win the series though, right?
Yes, they're not going to lose both games to Montreal.
God, if they do, it would be the funniest. That'd be the funniest thing that's ever happened in the history of the league, if they lose again. Honest to God, I'll puke if they lose again. All right, so Pharrell and Bench, this time we got him on the radio. The next time we're in Vegas at a big fight, we're going to get him on the TV side. We got to get him on both, obviously, because he's one of my favorite people of all time, someone that I have worked with forever and that I admire greatly. I think he's just the shrewdest, slickest, smartest, coolest businessman, promoter, CEO that I know. I mean, I've told you before, Carver High on the air, that how highly I think of Richard Schaefer and Bruce Binkow. They're two of my favorite people in the whole world in sports, and they just don't make them like that anymore. They're as good as it gets. Always an honor to have Richard on the show. Richard, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Thank you so much for this amazing introduction. You know, I love to be on your show. You know your stuff, you're passionate about it, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Okay, so Richard, let's start with Nonito Donaire. I actually, I'm so excited for you. You know, I remember when you started Ringstar a couple years ago, and, you know, from scratch, you started your own promotion, and then to see it grow into what it is today and where it's going in the future is staggering. It's very exciting. And here's another kid that you've got in your stead. I just think Nonito's a hell of a fighter. Tell me about him, how you got him, and where he's going into this fight this Saturday.
Well, actually, Nonito and me, we always liked each other, and we tried to work together when I was still at Golden Boy, and we ended up in a lawsuit because his then promoter Bob Arum wouldn't let him go. So he sort of like had to run out his contract. And by the time his contract was up and was a free agent, I was no longer with Golden Boy. I was had Ringstar, and he and his wife, which is his manager, came to see me, Rachel and Nonito, and they. They just said, look, we don't want to be with anybody else. We always wanted to be with you. And it was very easy. I mean, literally minutes to get the deal done. And that was about 3 years ago. And everybody sort of like written him off. He lost the disputed decision in his last fight with Top Rank against Magdaleno. And I knew that he was not finished. And I gave him a comeback fight. put him in the World Boxing Super Series, which is the tournament we did, you remember. And he breezed through the tournament. He made it to the final. The final was in Japan against a fighter they called the Monster, pound for pound number three or number four, Inoue. And he was in the final against Inoue. And he lost the fight, but he broke, not only broke, he shattered Inoue's eye socket. And Inoue couldn't fight for like 12 or 18 months. And this was exactly my point, because what happened right before the tournament, I had him fight against Carl Frampton in Ireland. And that was at 126 pounds. And he lost that fight, Nonito did. And I went right after the fight in the ring and I said, man, can you make 118? You've got to move down, because at 126, you're the little guy. You need to move down to 118 and be the big guy. And right. He says, yeah, no problem, I can. And that's what he did. And now he's fighting this weekend for the 118-pound World Championship, WBC, against the undefeated French guy, Nordin Ubali, with 17-0, 12 knockouts. And it's going to be an exciting fight, because Ubali is a two-time Olympian as well for France. He's undefeated. He's actually, believe it or not, Scott, he is the betting favorite. But I have to tell you, I think they got it wrong in Vegas this time. I think Nonito Donaire is going to win, and he is going to win by knockout.
Listen, your boy Donaire, Nonito's got. I think he's got so much experience that I think, you know, I won't deny Ubali's a great fighter, and he's got great international experience in Olympics and stuff. Yeah. There's no denying that he's good. He hasn't lost as a pro. He's made his mark. It's a great fight. But I just think that Nonito's got this experience on him, and he's dangerous. And I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. I'm glad you're putting on great fights like that. Now, let me get this straight. Like, I have to understand the barn, the stable that you've acquired at Ringstar. Am I crazy? Is it like Mikey? You got Mikey, right, Garcia?
Actually, what I'm doing is I work with different fighters. So I really haven't really, because, you know, the fact is the sport has really changed, particularly on the promotional side. So you have Paul Barham, which is ESPN. You have Al Heyman, PBC, who I'm aligned with, who is putting that fight on tomorrow. So I basically work with a number of different fighters. Mikey was one of them. So I work like with different fighters and different promoters and so, but they're different promotions. So I really haven't signed that much on Ringstar. I really have focused more on what I'm really, I think, best at, empowering the fighters. And that's what I've done throughout my career at Golden Boy as well. And that's why I have such an amazing relationship with all of the fighters, or maybe except one, Oscar. But all the other ones, they all are very supportive. So I'm really more like on the talent side now than on the promotion side, because I just want to help these kids. And like Donaire this weekend is a perfect example. He was written off. And here I am, guided him with another chance at age 38. If he wins that world title, Scott, on Saturday, which again, I think he will be the oldest man ever to win the bantamweight world title.
I think it's exciting. You've had a lot of great guys that I love being involved in their careers, at the very least, in some of their fights and promoting some of their fights.
Yes.
Leo, Abner. Abner Maris, yes. Leo Santa Cruz. I love Leo. He's one of my favorite fighters. I know you've worked with the Charlo brothers. Unless I'm crazy.
Deontay Wilder as well. Yeah.
And Deontay, and then Balderas. Now, those are brothers, right? Jose and Carlos?
Yes. Jose and Carlos, yes. So, you know, I basically work with different fighters and get involved on the promotional side and try to really make the events as big as they can be. And, you know, in a way, almost educate the general market, because the fight fans, they know these fights. But sometimes you need to sort of like educate the general market about the historical significance of a matchup, or what does it really mean to make these events more general market events and not just focused on boxing fans. And that's sort of like what I've really been doing in the last few years.
And mainstreaming it and making everybody excited about fights, yes. not just boxing fans. So, like, I know you've had this incredible relationship with, you know, Al Heyman and the PBC. And I know, you know, mm-hmm. I've been at a lot of those fights, and I've been involved in promoting a lot of them, and with Bruce, you, whatever. And this is another mm-hmm. one this Saturday, the PBC. How exciting has that been for you to be involved in their it's just gotten so gigantic. I mean, between, because I do all the PBC fights and I do all the Showtime fights. How much have you liked working with both of those entities?
Well, I've known them so well. You know, I know Steven Espinosa from president of Showtime. He used to be our attorney, so I've known him for a long, long time, way before he was at Showtime. And I've known Al since a long time as well. Well, going back to the 2007 when we first started working together for the Mayweather-De La Hoya fight. So I've known these guys for a long time. And, you know, I like to see my fighters and fighters getting properly treated and get exposure. And so it's always a pleasure to work on a PBC event.
So when you see everything that's happened in boxing, like since you left Golden Boy and you've watched, and I know you probably get sick of hearing about it, but, you know, honestly, I don't even want to talk about him. I want to talk about when you left and broke off and went and did Ring Star, and you're working with all these, you know, great people that know what they're doing. And I know Bob can be crazy, Arum, at times. There's no denying it. I think a lot of people have had that feeling, but that Top Rank does what they do. Like you talked about Nonito having to deal with the contract and he had to ride it out and all this other stuff. And then I've seen Bob work his magic, believe me, in the business. I've seen him do his thing. But do you like, well, first of all, I have to break. So I want to come back and finish this conversation. But I want you to think about this at the very least, is that when you left Golden Boy and you started doing this other stuff, you made the right call. I want to know what it has meant to you mentally, professionally. You know, has the joy come back in your life working in boxing, where at the time when that ended, you were miserable and you had to play these games and you had to play these legal nightmares and you had to almost go into hiding, you and Bruce, because of this guy. And when we come back, I want to find out if you found happiness again. Since you broke free of all that nonsense. We're talking to Richard Schaefer of Ringstar Sports. Nonito Donaire fighting Saturday night. Going to be incredible on PBC on Showtime. And we're going to talk to him about John Jones as well when we come back on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Richard Schaefer of Ringstar. And so the Donaire fights at the Warzone in Carson, they just had the Ortiz fight there. And there's been all kinds of great fights there in Carson, Cali. And then Saturday night, also Haney and Linares. That one's at Mandalay Bay where the fishes fly in Vegas. I have to ask you, you know, like I was saying before, since you've done the break and you've gone your own way, have you has it been fulfilling for you? Are you loving life? Are you happy again? Are you excited and vibrant?
I think it's a great question, Scott. And yes, I am. I feel like re-energized. You know, sometimes no matter what you do, it's actually good to make a change, you know, to sort of like pull the plug and, you know, recharge and plug in somewhere else. And, you know, just sometimes it's needed, you know, and this environment there was such at Golden Boy at the end was such that, you know, for many of the people, it didn't work out anymore. And, you know, you move on. I mean, you can sort of like stay and, you know, and just move, be miserable, or you can like, you know, do something about it. And we did something about it. And you move on and you turn the page. And I have to say, you know, I really don't have any bad feelings against these guys. whether they do well or not well. I mean, they lost Canelo recently. So, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. You move on, you know, because in the end, I have more good memories from my days at Golden Boy. It really is amazing if you think about it. Scott, you were there for a lot of it, what we built up. I mean, we were on fire against all odds. I mean, look, Bob Arum, you mentioned his name. The guy's a legend. The guy's a legend, and he has done amazing fights for over 50 years, and he's still doing it. I respect the man. And Don King is a legend, too. And we went, I mean, the Swiss banker and a young kid from East L.A., we said, you know, we're going to take those two guys on. And we did. And nobody gave us a chance. And guess what? We became the biggest boxing promotion business in the world. So, you know what? I'm proud of that. And these memories I have with Oscar, those are positive memories. And these are good memories. And the last few months or whatever of the relationship, I'm not going to let these last few months taint all those positive years I had. It's just not worth it, and it's not my style. It's time to move on. And move on I did, and I'm happy. Things are going well. I'm working on different things. I'm working with some, you know, I mean, all sort of different things outside of boxing as well. And so I'm very happy with the way things are going and the way I can help these fighters, these boxers as well, like we talked about Donaire, to empower them and give them opportunities and guide them back to the top and or help them to become world champion. That's really what my calling is at this point.
Well, listen, there's no one better at it than you. So I think it's just so kick-ass and exciting. And I'm always following you and watching and admiring your work. I think this latest venture of yours is the perfect example of it. John Jones. How in God's name did that come together? Because if anyone needs someone smart around him like you, it would be him. Because I think the guy is a absolute monster, brilliant fighter, dangerous. Everyone's scared to death of him. I think the guy has the capability of destroying anyone in front of him. There's no denying his talent. But off the, you know, off the scene, out of the octagon, you know, you get that kid out on the streets and back home and everything else. He's been a moron. He's been an idiot. He's had nothing but trouble with everything. The po-po, with drugs, you name it. He's had everything go wrong for him away from the gym of anyone I've ever seen in the last 10 years. But boy, does that guy have talent. And to have someone like you in his corner and helping him, I think is the smartest thing I've seen. How in God's name did that happen? I almost fell over when I saw that you took over his career.
I think it was a big surprise for all of people. Well, he was introduced to me by a mutual friend, you know, John, some months ago, I think split up with his old management team, and he's sort of like been looking, and he's been talking to different people, and a mutual friend suggested that we meet. We did meet, and we had a great meeting. We talked for hours, and we quickly realized that we're on the same page. I was very I'm obviously knew who he was and knew how great of a fighter he is, how talented he is in the octagon, but I never met the man, so I didn't really know his personality. But I have to say, he comes across extremely well. He's very articulate and very smart. In a way, so like reminded me a bit about Mayweather. And, you know, yes, you said he had problems outside of the octagon. But, you know, when you put it in boxing terms, that's nothing new. I mean, we dealt with fighters with problems before. And frankly, if you look at what he's done and you compare it to some of the boxer, you'd be looking like a saint in boxing. So that didn't really bother me that much, you know. And sometimes when you're younger, everybody does, and you learn from that and you move on. And he just came across really, really good. He came across really good. And I like the guy. We're on the same page. And very quickly, we worked out the deal. And here I am going to help him in you know, with his fights, trying to get him the biggest and best possible fights.
Hey, so listen, I was on the air. I was on TV. And when the deal happened, I announced it. I started talking about you. And I spent like 5 minutes talking about it. And I just want to give you a surmise a little bit about what I said. I said It's the smartest move I've seen in a while, and here's why. I believe, and I proved it in one day. Carver High knows it's true. I said the first day, I said, this is the smartest thing that this kid has ever done in his life. And I said, the difference for his life will be is that he could go in and ask for 30 and 30 million, and they laugh at him, and they'll say, we'll give you 8. And then I said, listen, a guy like Richard Schaefer is such a brilliant negotiator. He is as good as they get. He's dealt with Mayweather. He's dealt with all the greatest minds in the sport, and he's cut the biggest deals in the history of pay-per-view and in boxing and in television and in pay-per-view. There's no one that is more brilliant than Richard Schaefer. This is going to be the best thing that ever happened to him. And I said, I can guarantee you one thing. For the first time in his life, Dana White is going to look across the table at a man that is better at this than he is, and he's going to have to respect Richard Schaefer. Sure enough, a day later, here comes Dana White, and he says, there's no one I respect more than Richard Schaefer, and I can't wait to work with him. And I got to tell you, Richard, that's the first nice thing that's come out of that guy's mouth about anyone, including Bob Arum. He's put him in the grave already. He's put De La Hoya in the grave. He attacks everyone he meets. He hates everyone on the face of the earth that isn't on their knees at his feet. And all I know is he respects you because he has to. And I think it's going to be a great marriage because you will be able to negotiate with that guy, whereas everyone else loses to him. He's going to have to deal with you. It's a different animal altogether. And you know I'm right.
Well, thank you. No, look, I'm excited. I've known Dana for a long time. We always respected each other. We always liked each other. And, you know, he even way before the John Jones situation happened, he always said that it was me who was really golden boy. It wasn't Oscar. And so, you know, we always had a lot of respect for each other. And actually, Dana, and there was a time when Dana and Oscar got along as well. So it's not like they always were at each other's throat. But, you know, I look forward to work with Dana. And I think you're right. I know the pay-per-view business. He knows it very well as well. I mean, the guy, look, Dana White is a legend. What he's done is he built a sport. He built a sport. How many people can say that? He built a sport, and he's right. The face of that sport. So you've got to give the guy credit, but I know the sport as well, and I know the revenue sources. So I'm not going to be better than him when we sit on the table. No, but we're going to be equals. And he knows I know the business, and I know he knows the business. And as I told today some of your media colleagues, Dana White is the kind of guy who gets deals done. And I'm the kind of guy who gets deals done.
You're right.
And we are going to find a way. We're going to find a way to get the deal done, a deal which probably nobody's going to be happy about. But at that level, that's the deals. That's when you get deals done, when nobody is happy about it. Because if one side is very happy, then the other one is most likely not. And you're not going to get the deal done. So you need to know how to structure these things.
Right. Listen, I think I said today after I said I was having you on tonight on TV today, I said, look, that kid asked for 8. He asked for 30. They said 8. And I said, Richard's at 15 before the sun comes up. So all I know is I think you guys will see eye to eye. I respect both of you. What he turned that into a multi-billion dollar company with the Fertittas and what he's done with it since with ESPN, that's better than sex, what he's pulled off. That is the most unbelievable business deal I've ever seen in the fight game. So I respect what he's done as well. Let me ask you really quickly before we get out of here. I just got a couple minutes. I'm excited about Frank. I'm excited about Spence and Pacquiao, and that'll be a Fox PBC pay-per-view. And I think, obviously, I'm guessing because of Wilder, the Fury Wilder trilogy will be July 24th or whatever. Will be that'll also be PBC event. So I'm going to be seeing you at two gigantic fights, and we're finally back in the business of going to fights with fans. How excited are you for those two fights?
Oh, these are two huge, huge pay-per-views. I mean, this is really the kind of fight pay-per-view is made for, gigantic fights, you know, fights where you really have a lot of storylines, a lot of who is going to win, and it can go this way or that way, and you can give 10 reasons why this guy is going to win and 10 reasons why that guy is going to win. I mean, this is what these are the big fights. These are the exciting fights, and I agree with you. I mean, this is exactly the kind of fights boxing needed, and to get them back to back here is just absolutely it's fantastic. And to have a live audience again, I mean, you know, things which we took for granted pre-pandemic, suddenly we're like, wow. I mean, it's like a big thing. I mean, my kids today, I got them tickets to go to the Lakers game at the Staples Center, and you should have seen, they were like in tears yesterday when I called them. It's the first event they could go. I mean, it was amazing. And before, it's like, yeah, okay, we're going to the game. Yeah. But no, I mean, they were like, wow, now, the Lakers, it was a big thing. And the same here with boxing, you know, I mean, finally, I mean, we are appreciating things we took for granted. We appreciate them more. And I think that's actually not a bad thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I can't wait to see you at those fights. And good luck with Nonito Donaire on Saturday night in Carson on Showtime. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic fight. It's such a pleasure. Congrats on the John Jones deal. I think that's going to be a very exciting future between you, he, and UFC and whatever else he ends up doing in life. I think there's a lot of things he can do, and I think he couldn't have a better guy in his corner than Richard Shaver. Richard, I love you, man. All the best, brother. Thank you very much for coming on
the show.
Same
here. All the best. Until soon. All right. All the best. Love you too. Bye-bye.
My man, bye. Richard Shaver, the CEO of Ringstar Sports, getting ready for a big fight with Nonito Donaire on Saturday night on Showtime. Always great to have Richard on the show. It's Pharrell and a Bench from New York City. Go with us. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. So here's what happened. Grandland gave the Preds a 2-1 lead a minute into the second period, and then 7.5 minutes in, Johansson on a power play from Yossi and Grandland, and it's 3-1, and they're still on a power play. That was a 5-on-3 power play goal, and right at the end of the power play, they scored, so they kept the man advantage. They're on it right now, but I don't think they're going to get anything. There's 15 seconds left in it and counting, and they're having difficulty keeping it in. They got it in the zone now, but there's 10 seconds left. I don't think they're going to get a quality chance here. They're not, because there they go, Carolina the other way. So 3-1 Predators, 10.5 minutes left in the second period of game six. If they win, I'm assuming Saturday night would be game seven in Raleigh. Is that about right, Carver High?
Yes, definitely Saturday. I heard probably afternoon, 3 o'clock, NBC, because I know that NBC has the Islanders and the Bruins at 8 o'clock Saturday night. So I would assume that they would slot this at 3 in the afternoon on NBC.
Well, you're right. I mean, they can't have a Game 7 run concurrently against the Islanders and Bruins. It'll ruin it.
Right, especially if it's on big NBC already.
So, you know, when we come back, I want to get your opinion of that conversation I just had.
Actually,
with Richard Shaver.
I have the time if you want. 5 o'clock, Predators Hurricanes Game 7 on Saturday. It would be at
so
5.
They go 5 right Islanders, into 7:30.
Yeah, and actually, the Leafs and the Canadians will be 7:30 on Saturday night as well. So there is two games Saturday night. Leafs, Canadians, 7:30. Islanders, Bruins, 8 o'clock. If there's a Game 7 here, that would be at 5 o'clock before both of them.
Okay, I'm dizzy now, but it sounds to me like you're telling me at nighttime, when the Islander game is on, the Leafs game is on, and then the game six is at 5 o'clock. The game seven's at 5 o'clock. That's the one that really matters. Game six of the at the Bell Center, and then game one in Boston, right? All right, we'll come back. We got a lot to talk about with Carver High and I on a Bench.